Hey, today's daf is Arachin Daf Zayin. We left off on Daf Vav Amin Beis at Rabbi Yossi Omer Noder Umarich. Today's share is as a triple sponsorship. Today's share is sponsored by Shragi and Ellen Brill, the Zecher Nishma Shragi's grandmother, Yetta Bas Avram. Today's share is also sponsored by Milton Gertner, who's visiting us all the way from Baltimore this morning in honor of Bobby Dolitsky for his 30th birthday. So happy birthday to Bobby Dolitsky. And also, once again, by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. We thank all of the sponsors very, very much for their support of the Daf Yomi Shir and their sponsorship. So we are holding on Daf Vavam Beis, and we are at Rabbi Yossi Omer. So we were in the middle of discussing, the Mishnah had discussed, that according to Rabbi Yossi, someone who's Yotze Lehareg, someone who's being brought out to get killed, is able to be Noder Umarich, and he can be Makdish, and if he does damage, he's going to have to pay. So the Gemara is first going to discuss, what's the Chiddush in any of this? Does anyone argue on any of this? And it seems obvious that if someone is being brought out to be killed, that it shouldn't change his ability to take a Neder or an Erech vow, even if it does change his own personal Erech. And then the Gemara is going to get into the issue of what exactly the Nekudas HaMachlokas really is all about. And then the Gemara is, once we talk about someone who's Yotzei Lahareg, and we're going to raise the idea that we do not delay his din, even if something else comes up in between where we might want to take care of it before he dies, but we don't delay his din, and we actually kill him right away and don't take care of other things in between. So the Gemara discusses other issues relating to Inui Hadin. If some other obligation comes up, like bringing a certain karban or finishing off the obligations of a certain karban, maybe we're not going to do that at the expense of Inui Hadin. Then the Mishnah on Amud Aleph is going to talk about, what about a pregnant woman who's Yotze Lehareg? Nothing to do with Arachin. We just happened to mention Yotze Lehareg, so we continue about a Yotze Lehareg. What if a pregnant woman is Chayiv Misa and they're going to execute her? So do they execute her, or do they wait until the baby is born? And the Mishnah is also going to talk about getting hana'a from the hair of a pregnant of a woman who was killed, and getting hana'a from a behema that was killed. And the Gemara is going to have a couple of different tales about what that means, that you're getting hana'a from the hair of a woman that was killed. I thought a dead body is absolutely yasr ba'na'a. Why in the world would you be allowed to get hana'a from the hair of a woman that was killed? And that's, the Gemara is going to get into the sugya of shetels a little bit. Not whether it's a valid hair covering or what kind, just in terms of, that might be what we're talking about over here when we talk about the hair of a woman that was killed. And that will take us till the end of the parak, and then in the beginning of the next parak, the Mishnah is going to discuss the minimum amount ever paid for an Erech vow and the maximum amount ever paid for an Erech vow. So let's begin. Rabbi Yossi Omer Noder Umarich. So Rabbi Yossi had said that someone who's going to be taken out to get killed is can take a Neder, can take an Erech vow, he could be Makdish. So Tanakama Mika Amar Delo. What does the Tanakama hold, that he cannot be Noder Umarich Makdish? Tanakama only said he cannot be Nidar, he cannot be Nerach, he doesn't have any personal value. But to take the Neder, why would he be limited in any way? Why would the Tanakhama disagree with that? No, the truth is, everyone agrees to those halachos, that the guy who's being taken out to get killed can take a neder, can take an erech vow, can be makdish something. Ki pligi, the whole machlokas between Rabbi Yossi and Tanakama is about the last line that Rabbi Yossi says, be'im hizik, that what if a person does damage while he's being taken out to be executed? Tanakama sovereim hizik einu chayv b'tashlumin, Rabbi Yossi sovereim hizik chayv b'tashlumin. Tanakama says he's not going to have to pay for the damage done during that time, and Rabbi Yossi says, yes, he will. He's still going to be chayiv b'tashlumin on whatever damage he does at that time. So says Mar, b'maikum iflgi, what is the nekudas ha-machlokas? We're going to have two suggestions as to what they're arguing about. First suggestion, Am Rabbi Yossi b'milva alpeh gove min ha-yorshin kum iflgi. The machlokas over here is, what if you owe somebody money, but the amount that you owe is not written in any shtar anywhere? It's a milva alpeh. Lav dafka milva. It's not a loan over here. The guy did damage, so he owes somebody money for the damage that he did. Point is, you owe somebody money and it's not written down in a shtar. So they're arguing, what happens if the person who owed the money dies? Can you collect a milva alpeh from the Yorshim, from the Yorshim of the person who owes the money. So Tanakama Savar Milva Alpeh Eino Gov Min HaYorshim. Tanakama says that a Milva Alpeh you cannot collect from the Yorshim, and therefore if a person is being taken out to get killed and he does damage, you're going to be out of luck. You're not going to be able to collect it because this guy is going to die in 5 minutes and his Yorshim are not going to have to pay you, and that's why he's Pater. Rabbi Yossi Savar Milva Alpeh Gov Min HaYorshim. Rabbi Yossi says that a Milva Alpeh does collect from Yorshim, and therefore even though you're about to execute this fellow, but his Yarshim are going to have to pay for whatever damage he does on his way out of this world. Rabba Amar Dukuli Alma Milva Alpeh Eino Govern Yarshim. Rabba says, no, everyone agrees that a normal Milva Alpeh, normally when you owe somebody money and there's no shtar to it, the Yarshim are not going to have to pay such a chov. Over here what they're arguing about is when you have a milva ksuva b'torah. Milva ksuva b'torah means that the Torah mandates this payment, that it's something that the Torah says, given this situation, that you're obligated to pay. Tanakam, so when a person damages, that's a milva ksuva b'torah. So it may not be written in a shtar anywhere, but it's written in the greatest shtar ever, in the Torah HaKadosha itself. So Tanakam, so milva ksuva b'torah, lav ksuva b'shtar damya. Tanakam says, no, but it's not written in a shtar, and therefore it has the din of a milva alpeh, and therefore you cannot collect it from the Yarshim. So if this guy damages when he goes out, when he's being taken out to be executed, he's about to die, his children are not going to be chayiv to pay because it's just a regular milva alpeh. But Rabbi Yossi Sover, Kiksuva B'shtar Damya, that no, a milva ksuva b'torah, it's as if it was written in a shtar, and therefore he does have to pay. The Nizik is able to collect from the Yorshim of this person, because it's considered as if it's ksuv b'shtar, even though a regular milva alpeh would not be gove min ha-yarshim. So says Gemara, v'ikad masin laha. Some have this machlokas between Rav Yosef and Rabba that we just had, meaning where Rav Yosef explained the whole machlokas is whether milva alpeh is gove min ha-yarshim or not. Then Rabba explained that, no, everyone agrees it's not gove min ha-yarshim. The whole machlokas is whether this is a case of milva alpeh, or whether some say that machlokas applies to the following brisa. So it was brought in an entirely different context. Hayotze lehareg, hu shechovel ba'achirim. If someone is being taken out to be executed and he is chovel somebody else, he damages somebody else, chayiv. He's going to have to pay because he's a bardeya and he's going to be chayiv. Achirim shechovelu bo, but other people who are chovel him, Peturin, they're going to be Pater because he's about to be killed anyway. So it's as if he's already dead, and therefore those people who damage him are going to be Pater. The Sugi in Sanhedrin, Daf Pehei, is clear that if he's that even though he's Yotze Lehareg, someone who damages him may not have to pay for the Nezek, the Tsar, and the Ripoy, and the Sheves, but they do have to pay for the Boshes, that if they embarrass him, they do have to pay for that Boshes payment. But the other four payments that you would normally pay, when you damage somebody, that they're not going to have to do, because they did that damage to a person who was about to be executed. Rav Shimon ben Elazar Omer, af hu im chaval ba'acherim, Potter, that even the guy who's about to be executed, if he's chovel other people, he doesn't have to pay. Because how are we ever going to be mechayiv him? We can't bring him back to have a whole din Torah now over whether he's going to have to pay, because if he's being taken out to be executed, there's a halacha that you're not allowed to be ma'ana esdino, you're not allowed to delay a din, so we have to kill him right away. We don't have time to have a din Torah over whatever chavala case has just come up. So Mechlal, the Tanakama Savar, the implication is that the Tanakama holds Nidin Achzaras Midas Beis Din, that we would stop the execution for a while in order to do a Hamad B'din, in order to try him for the Chavala that he just committed. But that can't be, because there's an Isser of Inoy Adin. So says the Gemara, that's where Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, there is no machlokas about that. That certainly, this fellow, as he's being taken out to be executed, if he damages somebody else, there's no machlokas. He's going to be executed. We're not taking him back to have a whole din Torah. Shailis, can you have a din Torah after he dies? That's the machlokas. B'milva peh government a yarshim kamifliki. Is there? Can you have a din Torah with the yarshim in order to get the money from them? Tanakama says b'milva peh government a yarshim. Tanakama says that when there's a milva peh, you are able to collect from the yarshim, and therefore, granted, you're not going to have a din Torah with this guy because this guy's about to get killed, but you will have with his yarshim, and therefore, they're going to have to pay. Rabbi Shimon Elazar says ain't a government a yarshim. Rabbi Shimon Elazar says no, you can't collect from the yarshim anyway. So since this fellow is about to be executed, that money will never have to be paid, and that's why when he's chovel ba'acherim, he's going to be potter. Rabba Amar and Rabba said, no, the kulei alma milva peh ain't a government of yarshim. Everyone would agree that a regular milva peh cannot be collected from yarshim. Over here, the whole machlokas is what happens when you have a milva ksuv b'torah. Do we consider that as if it's ksuv b'shtar? Tanakama savar ksuv b'shtar danya. Tanakama holds that a milva ksuv b'torah, like a mazik that's chayiv to pay the nizik because the Torah was mechayiv him, is as if it was written in a shtar. And Rabbi Shimon Elazar savar lav ksuv b'shtar danya. It's not as if it was written in a shtar, and that's why you're not able to collect from Yerushim because it's a regular milva alpeh. So now going back to the first lashon that we had, that Rabba explained the machlokas Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah about a guy who was being taken out to be executed and he was mazik, where the Tanakama patrid the yorshim from paying because the chov of the hezek is like a milva alpeh, and even though it's written in the Torah, it's still just a milva alpeh, and you cannot collect it from yorshim. So meisve, so the Gemara asks on that, hachofer bor b'rishos rabim. Let's imagine a fellow is digging a bor in Rishos Rabim. Obviously not allowed to do that, it's going to cause damage, and he's going to be liable for those damages. That's what the Gemara tells us in Masechta Baba Kama and elsewhere, and Masechta Pesachim, that shnei dvarim are enim b'rishos rabim, that there are two things that you are not the rightful owner of, but the Torah, to make you obligated, considers it as if you are the owner of the item, not to your benefit, only to your detriment. It considers it as if you're the owner of the item. One is chametz misheisho salamayla, right? Chametz on Pesach, even though the Torah takes it out of your rishus, you're considered the rightful owner in that you're going to be chayef for having it and for owning it. And the second is a barber shosarabim. If I go in the middle of a public street and I start digging a hole in the rishus rabim, start putting puddles all over the Rosh Hashanah. Baruch Hashem, we don't have to. It's happened for us. But if I start putting puddles all over the Rosh Hashanah, so I don't own that street. I don't own the Rosh Hashanah, but I'm still going to be chayiv. So I chov bar Rosh Hashanah. Nafal alav shor v'harago. I'm digging the fellow's digging the bar, and a shor comes and lands on him and kills the guy who's digging the bar. So patu, the bala shor does not have to pay the kofar that he would normally have to pay when his shor kills somebody. But v'lo od el she'im meis hashor, not only that, but if the, in addition to the fellow who's digging the bar dying, the shor also dies, yorshe balabar chayav l'shalem d'mei shor l'baylev. The yorshe balabar are going to have to pay the value of the shor to the owner of the shor. So they just had a very bad day, right? Bad news. You know, your relative died, and you have to pay for the shor that killed your relative because it died as well. So they're obligated to pay for that. So it turns out that the Braisa assumes that the Yorshe HaMazik do have to pay, must be, because Milva Ksuv B'Torah is Ksuv B'Shtar. And not like Rabba said previously, that our Stam Mishnah patters the Yorshe HaMazik, because the Milva Ksuv B'Shtar, Ksuv B'Torah, it cannot be collected from Yorshim. So it's a kasha on Rabba's explanation of our Mishnah. So it says, Amar Rabbi Ila, Amar Rav. No, really, when the Mazik dies, the Yorshim do not have to pay. The fact that the Braisa says that the Yorshim of the bore digger has to pay for the shor, that's kshamat bedin. That's talking about when he was already omed bedin during his lifetime. They already had a din Torah about it. Then, of course, his nechasim amashubad, whatever Yerusha leaves behind, is going to have to go and pay for that which he already had a din Torah against him. There was already a judgment against him. So says Mar, wait, what does that mean? Omed bedin vaharago katani. But in this very incident that he would be omed bedin on, he died. So how could he have had an amida bedin while he was still alive if he died from the shor falling on him? So it says Mar Amrav Adavarava Bishasau Trefa. Now what happened was the shor fell on him, and the guy became a trefa. He didn't die yet. The shor died immediately from falling on him. But the fellow who the shor fell on only became a trefa. We did Amad Abedin while he was a trefa. And then, you know, in the few days that it took to do the Din Torah, we wrapped it up 1, 2, 3, a judgment against him, and then he died. So now, is Yerushim going to have to pay? V'am Rav Nachman Tani Tana Meis Ukvaro. Rav Nachman said that Tani Chaga, rather, that a certain Chacham by the name of Chaga taught in the Brisa that the shor fell on him and he died on the spot and they buried him right there. So how can you say that he was a trefa and they had time for a whole din Torah? No, it says he died right there in the bar. He was buried right there in the bar. So it says Gemara v'hilchasa de yasvi dayan yapuma debira. No, the case must be that there happened to have been 3 dayanim right at the mouth of that bar, and they must have been yelling at him, "What are you doing digging a bar?" And just then a shor walks by, lands on him and kills him, and the guy as he's being mefar perumes, as he's dying, they do a hold in Torah. They have and they're mechayiv him to pay, and then he drops dead and stays there at the bottom of the bar. It's quite an ukimta to make, but that's the ukimta that the Gemara says you have to make, because normally the yarshim would not have to pay for damage that he does that you did not have a hamad bedin on. Okay, so once we discuss this topic of someone who's yotzi laharig that we're not going to reverse and do a whole hamad bedin, because we can't be ma'ana this din, right? We have a din right now that he's yotzi laharig, that we have to execute him. So we can't delay the execution just so that we can deal with some other din. So we're going to discuss other issues of delaying execution. Tan Rabbanan, a yotzi laharig, someone who's yotzi laharig is going to be executed, and he had brought a carbon chatas or a carbon asham before his gemar din. So maznul of midam chatas and midam ashamo. They could do the zrikas hadam from his carbon chatas and his carbon asham in order to get a kapara for that aveira. Even though normally you're not makar b'chatas or an asham that shemesu ba'aleim, whose owners have died, but he's not dead yet. So as long as he's not actually dead yet, we can still do the azav the chatas of the asham. Chata ba'os hasha'a, but what if he becomes chayiv in the chatas after he's already he already had a gemar din to be executed? Einis kakin lo, we do not delay his execution in order to allow him to bring a karban. My taima, Amar Rav Yosef, neshein ma'aninas dino, because we do not delay execution. That if he has to be executed, there's no such thing as sitting on death row for 10 years. That doesn't happen in a beis din. If it's that day, if he's executed, so then we're not ma'ana the din at all. Amalei Abayi ihachi afilu reshanami. If that's the case, that's the reason that we don't want to be ma'ana the din, then even if he did the avera before the gemar din, we should not be zorek the dam of his chatos. How come in the ratio we said we could be zorik the dam of the carbon that he already brought? So says Mark, "Kigon shayu zivcho zavuach ba'us hasha'a." That no, we're talking about a case where the carbon was already shechted. All you need to do is be zorik the dam. That takes 2 seconds to be zorik the dam. That's not going to cost too much time. It's not going to be ma'ana the din. So that's where we're zorik the dam. Aval ein zivcho zavuach mai. But if the animal was not yet shechted, what would the halacha be? Lo, then we would not delay in order to be zorik the dam. We would just kill him. Adatani chatabal sashay in his kakal. Yeah, but if that's the case, if there is such a chiluk that you have a guy who already was did an avera, was chayiv a carbon chatas, was mafresh a carbon chatas, and the question is, should we delay his execution until that chatas is taken care of? And the halach is going to be, well, it depends. Did we already shecht it, or did we not already shecht it? If that's the whole chiluk la'alacha, if we already shechted it, then you can delay the din the amount of time it takes to just do the zrika. But if you didn't shecht it, no, don't delay his execution, just do his execution, don't worry about the carbon. If that's the case, if that's true, that distinction between whether we did or didn't shecht it is true, then liflo glisim v'dida, then the Tana should have mentioned that distinction and should have said, pamed varmamunim, when do I say that we wait for we wait in order to be zorik the dam? That's only shayziv chazavuach pas hasha'a avlein ziv chazavuach lo. But if the animal was not yet shechted, then we're not going to wait at all. So why didn't the Tana make that distinction instead of making a distinction that was much more distant? The Tana made a distinction between when we're going to just be zorik the dam versus when he first sins right now as he's about to be executed. We could have said much better. Not that he first sins right now. He already sinned. He was already mafresh a korban. He just hasn't shechted the korban yet. yet. Sachinami Kamar says, well, yeah, it's exactly the distinction it's trying to say. What the Tanna meant is, mamurim, when are we going to be Zorik the Dam before his execution? That's only if the animal was already shechted. Aval ein zivcha zavuach, nase kimi shechata ba'osa sha'ah. If the animal is not already shechted, we treat it as if he just first sinned at that moment, and therefore we're not going to delay his execution. So even though the words the Brisa used were shechata ba'osa sha'a, the case it was really trying to describe was not chata ba'osa sha'a, but ein zivcha zavuach, that his korban had not yet been shechted, that in such a case we're not going to delay his execution. Good, new Mishnah. Isha shiatzeh leharig, if a woman is being brought out to be executed, even though she's pregnant, we do not wait until she gives birth. We kill her together with the Vlad because they're considered a single body, a single unit, and when she has a Gemar Din for Hariga, so the Gemar Din applies to the fetus as well. Ha'isha shiyashva al hamashber, but if a woman is already on the birthing stool, meaning she's already in active labor, mamtina la'achatele, then we're not going to execute her in that predicament. We're going to wait till she gives birth, because once the Vlad has already made its move to start to come out, he's considered independent of the mother. The Vlad is not Chayiv Misa, so we're not going to kill the Vlad, so we're going to wait for the baby to be born, and then we'll kill the mother. Ha'isha shenerga nenin b'sa'ara. Separate halacha, says the Mishnah, if a woman gets killed, you're allowed to get hanah from her hair. And the Gemara is going to discuss what in the world that means. Why would that be true? Behema shenerga, if an animal gets killed, meaning shara niskal, an animal gets killed and bathed in, asura b'hana'a. It's also to get hana'a from such an animal. The pasuk says Ashor Yisakel, and the Baal Ashor is Naki. So the mashmos of the pasuk is that the Baal is Naki min Nechasav, that he can't get any hana'a from his Nechasav, meaning the Shor that gets killed is Asur B'Hana'a. That's what we learn from the fact that it says Baal Ashor Naki. The Gemara says Kedamri Inshi, that people say, oh, he was wiped clean. Wiped clean, meaning he has nothing left. So whatever, he has nothing left of his shar, once that shar is dead. So says Gemara, going back to the first halacha in the Mishnah, that if you have a pregnant woman that's chayiv misa, we kill her as is, and we do not wait for her to give birth. Well, pshita, isn't that obvious? Gufahi, the baby is part of the mother's body. Says Gemara, no, istrich, it is a chiddush. Salkadeh, chamina holuksiv, kasher yashasalav bal ha'isha. I might have thought that since, you know, the Torah talks about a person who strikes a pregnant woman and causes her to miscarry, that he has to pay the husband of that woman money for the vlados. So mamona de balu velo lives the day. I might think, well, the baby is therefore considered the mamon of the husband. So why should he lose out just because the woman did an avera? Why should he lose on his vlados? So kamash milan. Therefore, the Tana tells us, even so, we're going to kill her. What does that mean? Even so. So there are two ways to understand it. Either it means that the vlados are not the moment of the Baal, and there just happens to be Gzeres HaKasav that you pay the Baal when you cause the woman to miscarry, but they're not considered the moment of the Baal. Or you say that they are the moment of the Baal, but in a chinami, he loses out. The Baal is going to lose out anyway, because we have a halacha that we have to fulfill of executing this woman. So says Mar Badveima Achinami, maybe Taka, we should say that we should delay the execution so that we can make sure the Baal doesn't lose out. So Amar Rabbi Vo, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Kra, no, we have a pasuk, umesu gam shnehem. L'rabo says avlad. It says umesu gam shnehem. The word umesu itself is already plural. Why do you have to say shnehem? So it must be there's an additional chiddush over here, that shnehem means not the pashpshan in the pasuk. It talks about two people who committed adultery, right? So umesu gam shnehem, both of them, man and woman who committed adultery, are going to die. But just from umesu you learn that. So what's the shnehem? Shnehem tells me that a woman and her offspring, the woman and her vlad, her fetus, can get killed together. But wait, don't we already learn from the word shneim that the person is only going to be chayiv for adultery if both the noef and the noefes are over the age of bar bas mitzvah? Isn't that what we learned from the word shneim? Rabbi Yoshia says Gemara, ki kamrinan megam. Yeah, there are three drashas to be made. It's umesu meaning that they both die. Shneim tells me that both the noef and the noefes have to be a bar chiyuva, they have to be over bar bas mitzvah. The word gam teaches me our halacha, that even if a woman is pregnant, she's going to be killed even with the fetus. But the Mishnah said, Yashva la mashber, once she's ready sitting on the birthing stool, she's ready in active labor, then you're going to wait for the baby to be born. My time, kivin dakar gufa achrinuhu. Once the baby is on his way out, it's considered his own independent body. Amar Rav Yudah Shmuel, ha'isha yotze lehareg, makin osa keneged beis herayon. How do you execute a woman who is pregnant? So the halacha is, says Rav Yudah Shmuel, you start with the baby, meaning you start by striking her on the rechem, so that the fetus will die before she dies. Because if she dies first, then it's going to be a terrible nivul. She's going to be flowing a lot of dam. It's going to be a terrible pagam and kavod abrios. So the memra dihi kadma umesa bresha. Does that mean to say that if you just kill her directly, she would die before the fetus would die? Meaning, is that the assumption that the only way to kill the fetus first is if you strike her on the beis harechem? But we learned in another Mishnah that the natural assumption is that the fetus dies before the mother. Because the Mishnah says in Maseches Nida, Tinok ben Yomo no chelu manchil, that even a one-day-old baby has the ability to yarshin and be morish to others. That you have a one-day-old baby, he can be yoresh his mother, he can inherit his mother, and then when he dies, so his mother dies when he's a few hours old, he now inherits all of her property, and then when he dies a few hours later, his brothers from his father's side are all going to inherit that property. Yeah, but dafka ben yom echad, aval ubar lo, only if the baby's already born. But if he's only an ubar, if he's only a fetus, then he cannot be morish. Do my ispiresha. Why can't he be yoresh when he's only a fetus? Because we assume that if he and his mother both died, he died first anyway. So if he died first, obviously he's not going to be yoresh's mother. He's only yoresh's mother if she dies first. But you see, the natural assumption is that he dies first, that the baby dies first. Not like we're saying over here that when you're going to execute a pregnant woman, you have to dafka strike her on the belly in order to kill the baby first. No, anyway, the baby will die first. The baby always dies first. Once the baby's dead, he's not going to be yorish anymore. But the point is, you see clearly the baby does die first. It says more now. There's a big difference between someone dying and someone getting killed. When someone dies, so the baby has less chiyus than the mother has. So we assume that if it's the malach hamavis that's doing the killing, the malach hamavis is tipa that comes off of his sword, whatever that means, is going to kill the baby before it kills the mother. That's what the Mishnah Nida was talking about. Over here, we're talking about a person who's being executed. When being executed, then certainly the mother, if you execute the mother directly, the mother will die before the baby. And that's why we require to go out of your way to dafka, hit her on the beis harechem, so that the baby would die first. So says Marvav Uvda U Pirkes Ad Tlas Parkuse. But there was a maisa where a woman just died on her own, and the uber was still shaking, was still moving. So don't you see that the baby died later? Says Mar Mididahavi as Nav Halta Adim Farcheses. Now sometimes there are things that are already dead, but they're still jumping around, they're still moving, and that must have been the case in that circumstance. In the Tshuvas Mimamakim, Rav Ephraim Ashri has all those very terribly sad tshuvas from the Holocaust. So he said at one point in the ghetto there was a woman who was beaten, a pregnant woman who was beaten senseless by the Nazis, and they thought she was holding by dying. They thought there was no chance of saving her, but they thought maybe they could save the baby. So the shaila was, can they cut her open to take the baby out? So the shaila was, first of all, she may not be dead yet, so you might be killing her by cutting her open. They weren't sure if she was dead. So exactly being koveya, this man of Misa, is also very tricky. Right? There were tshuvas from hundreds of years ago. There used to be a terrible fear in society of being buried alive. I don't know if it was a rational fear or irrational. It doesn't seem like it was a rational fear, but people used to be terribly... So there were governments that had passed laws that you're not allowed to bury someone until like 3 days after they die, which was not good for the Jewish people, because we require burial immediately. But so anyway, in this case, the woman was... they weren't sure if she was dead. And even if she was dead, the baby might be dead also. So he goes through this sugya over here of what sort of assumptions do we make about the baby if the mother is dead. Do we just assume that it's being mefarpe better, just like you know, just like the Gemara is describing over here? Or do we assume no? She was beaten. She wasn't. She didn't just die from the Malach HaMavis. And the Gemara says over here that if a person is beaten, then the baby will still be alive inside of her. Okay. Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, the Isha Sheyashva Al HaMashver. If a woman is in active labor, Umesa B'Shabbos, and she dies on Shabbos, Mevi'in Sakin Makarin Es Kresu Motzi'in Es Avlad. Yeah, here's the more direct case, right? So they can bring a knife and tear open her stomach in order to take the Vlad out, because the Vlad is still going to be alive. Says Mar Pshita, of course you're allowed to do that on Shabbos, because even if it wasn't Pikuach Nefesh, Mayavid, there's no Malacha. Meaning, what would the Malacha be of cutting her open in order to take out the Vlad? Mechatech Babasaru, you're just cutting flesh. There's no Isser of cutting flesh. Meaning, we're assuming that it's not going to be Motzi Dam at this point that you're cutting the flesh. That's what Rashi says. In Masech HaShabbos, Rashi says that Chovel is a Tolda of Shochet, so that the Isra of Shochet is obviously only on someone that's alive. The woman is dead, so there's not going to be an Isra of Shochet, and that's why you're allowed to cut her open in order to take out the baby. So obviously you're allowed to cut her open and take out the baby. You're not even doing a Malacha. It's one thing, tell me, oh, you can be Mechal Shabbos for this baby, meaning that tells me that you think the baby might survive. But over here, you're not being Mechal Shabbos. So Rabbi Lo Nitzrucha Lavi Sakin Derech Rosh Hashanah. No, no, the point is that you're carrying the knife in Rosh Hashanah, right? The point is you don't hold the Erev, and you're still carrying the knife, right? That, no, Rosh Hashanah obviously means Darai, so there's no Erev. I'm just, but that you're carrying the knife in Rosh Hashanah. That's the Malacha. It says more, my Kamash Malan. So what's the Chiddush of Shmuel? To Misveka Mechalin on Shabbata? What, the Chiddush is that Misafik Pikuach Nefesh, you could be Mechal Shabbos? Tanina, we already know that. Mishanafel of Mapolis, if a person is in a building that caves in, Safik Husham, Safik Ein Husham, and we're not sure if the person was there or not. Everyone's looking, where's Yankel? And they go, oh, maybe he was in that building that just caved in. We don't know. Safik Chai, Safik Meis, or we're not sure if he's, we know that Yankel was in there, we're just not sure if he was alive or dead. Or Safik Nani, Safik Yisrael, we know somebody was in there, we're just not sure if it was Yankel or it was Bob, right? We don't know if it was the guy, the Jew or non-Jew. Mefachin Lavesagal. So then we remove the stones in order to save whoever might be in there. So don't you see, we already know that Misafek Pikuach Nefesh Yigubim Mechal Shabbos. Says Marna Mal Detema Hasam Udavle Chazaka Dechiyusa. I might have thought, no, only in that case where the building caved in on a person, the person had a Cheskas Chayim already, they've been alive before. Aval Hacha Delavle Chazaka Dechiyusa Meikara Emelo. But over here we're talking about a Vlad that was never alive in this world, so it never had a Cheskas Chayim. So I might think that you cannot be Mechal Shabbos for a Safek Pikuach Nefesh of someone who is never known to be alive. So Kamash Milan, that's why he's telling me that even for that, you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. The Achronim raised the question, the Rashash raises the question, that you only see from that Mishnah, meaning what do we ask? That we already know you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for Safek Pikuach Nefesh because you can be Mefakeach Halav HaSagal. What Malacha is that? Is removing some stones. Muktzah. What's an Issa Drabanan? All you see from there is that you can violate an Issa Drabanan for a Safek Pikuach Nefesh. You don't see that you can violate an Issa Daraisa. So that's what the Rashash tries to come up with some way that this could be a Daraisa. That you have to come up with some way that this might be a Malacha Daraisa. Otherwise, the whole Gemara doesn't make sense. The whole Kasha of the Gemara has to assume that there's some sort of Issa Daraisa in play. Ha'isha Shinarga, we then said, if a woman was killed, you could be nana from her hair. But a behemoth that gets killed is asur b'hanah. Why are you allowed to get hana from her hair? Isurei hanah ninu. Dead people are asur b'hanah. You're not allowed to get hana from a mace. That was all discussion a few years ago when they had the bodies exhibit. That they had all sorts of dead bodies on display, and people wanted to go to see the anatomy or just for entertainment or amusement, I'm not sure. So there's a shaila when that's called that you're getting hana min ames, is just looking at something considered to be hana. But to get actual direct hana, to use a mace, to use the hair and make a sheitel out of it, to use skin and make things out of it, that's absolutely asin. So Amarav ba omeres tnu sa'ari libiti. Now the case is, the woman right before she died said, I want my hair to go to my daughter after I die. Ilu amra tnu, so it says, why does that help? Ilu amra tnu yadi libiti mi avinala. If she said, I want my hand to go to my daughter, would we give the daughter the hand? That doesn't make, you can't just give parts of her body because she said so. So Amrav bepe anachris. So Rav says, no, we're not talking about her actual hair. We're talking about a wig. So there was a wig that was attached to her body, and she says, you know how expensive these wigs are these days? I don't want my daughter to have to pay for a wig. I want my daughter. So only if she said, tnu libiti, only then does the daughter get the wig. Otherwise, it's going to remain asr. Hasvana. Time Adam Ratznu, Halo Am Ratznu, Gufa Hiyumitzar. If she didn't say Tznu, then the Payanakris is considered to be part of the woman's body because it's connected to the body, and therefore it's Asvana, just like the woman herself. Only when she said Tznu is she Megala that she doesn't want the Paya to become us, to be considered part of her body, and therefore become Aser. So says Marvam Bailil Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina. This issue was already an issue that Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina raised, and he never was able to answer this issue. He's never able to be poshate this suffix. The case was, you have an Irani Dachas. So the halacha is that all of the property of that city goes out, gets destroyed, and all the people who committed Avodah Zarah get killed b'sayef. So they, and they burn all the money. Those who did not do Avodah Zarah don't get killed, but their money still gets destroyed. So Dabai Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanin, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanin raised the shayla, Sa'ar Nashim Tzidkanios Mahu. What about the hair of Nashim Tzidkanios? Nashim Tzidkanios means those women that did not violate Avodah Zarah that live in an era. So I know that their money is all going to be destroyed. I know that they won't be killed. What about their hair? So Vamarava Bepeyanach was coming by today. The whole Shaila was not about their actual hair. Their actual hair is part of their body. It means their Peyanachris, their Shetel. Is that going to be destroyed together with the rest of their property? Or do we say, no, that becomes part of their body? So Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanin raises as a Shaila, and he didn't answer the Shaila, and yet he should have been poshet the Suffolk from our Mishnah, because here our Mishnah, if Rav is correct, that our Mishnah is talking about a case of Peyanachris, here's your answer, that it all depends whether she says Tnu Labiti, or she doesn't say Tnu Labiti. If she says Tnu Labiti, then it's not part of her body anymore. And if she doesn't say Tnu Labiti, it's considered part of her body. Says Marki coming by the Rabbi Yosef Rechanina, Tetali Besiksa. Rabbi Yosef Rechanina's whole Shaila was when the hair was not really, the Shetel wasn't really fully connected. It was only one clip that was connecting it. But our case is where the Peya is mamish intertwined with her hair. Time Adam Ratznu, Halo Am Ratznu, Gufu Mitzar. And that's why only if she says, give it to my daughter, is she saying, I want it to be considered to be disconnected from me, and then it becomes her property. But if she doesn't say that, since it's intertwined with her hair, it's considered part of her body. There's such halacha that even foreign substances that are inside the body of a person who dies become considered part of the body. You know, that's what the hospital staffs know, and from neighborhoods, that they're not allowed to pull the tubes after the person dies. They have to cut the tubes after the person dies, because whatever's inside the body is considered part of the body. Over here, this is intertwined with her hair. But wait a second, there were two halachas that were mentioned back to back. It was the woman's hair and the behema. Well, the behema was the behema itself, it was the actual body. So, that the woman's hair is talking about a shetel. Elam Rav Nachman misasa osarta gemardina zumi sasa osarta v'zo gemardina osarta. That no, the woman becomes aser ba'ana when she dies. The behema becomes aser ba'ana at the gemar din, and that's why the difference. The behema at the gemar din, his whole body becomes aser ba'ana. The woman only becomes aser ba'ana at the time that she dies, and therefore the woman's hair is going to be, therefore we could be talking about a shetel, and we're not talking about the woman's body itself. It's not talking about a peyanach, it's talking about her actual hair. The Mishnah is being mechadish that the woman's hair does not become aser, even though an animal's hair would become aser, because it's only the misa that asers the woman bana. So Tani Levi Kavasei Drav, Tani Levi Kavasei Drav Nachum Reisak. Levi has a brisa that supports each opinion. Tani Levi Kavasei Drav, Isha Sheyotelari Ramatsunu Sari Libiti Nosnin, that if she says, give my hair to my daughter, then we do give it. Mesa ain nosnin. But if she dies without saying, give it to my daughter, we don't give it. Mesha mesa asubana, because a mesa is asubana. Pshita, obviously that's the reason. Ella shenoye hames asubana. No, the point is that the Bryce is trying to say that even things that are only decorative, like a shetel, are asubana. Tanya kavas hed Rav Nachman Yitzchak, and the Bryce goes like Rav Nachman Yitzchak, hisha shemesa nenin b'sara. A woman dies, you can get enough from her hair. Behema shenerga asur ba'ana, but a behema that gets killed is asur ba'ana. Uma hefresh bein zel lezeh. What's the difference between the behema where the whole thing is asur and the woman where the hair is mutter? Zo misasa osarta. By the woman, it's her death that makes her asur, and the hair doesn't change when she dies. It's going to be exactly the same. V'zo gemardina osarta, but the behema becomes asra at the time of the gemardin. So the brisa that's matir, the sayer of the woman herself, even if she didn't say tenu, follows the shita of Rav Nachum Yitzchak. Hadron alach hakol ma'arichin bezeshem. Tomorrow we'll pick up with the second parak of Masechta Arachin.